Dearly beloved, we are brought here with the friends and family to remember a life and a season that was cut short.
No.
Our dear John and mine, dear Memphis Grizzlies, cut down not in their prime, but in a strong, fulfilled life, they received a terminal diagnosis. They withered.
It was a mercy killing.
And wasted away.
They were so they were good.
Put down like a rabid dog.
A mere shell of themselves.
Zeebo had a triple-double.
Let us not remember.
Matt Barnes triple-double.
Let us not remember the way it ended. But let us remember the one or two good times.
Is that Dave Yeager crying in the background?
Of this season. We received these touching words, these inspiring words you might have heard, as in the final game, Greg Popovich, coach of the Spurs, came to Dave Yeager to offer his support, to offer his condolences, and said, make a proper seal. Stop up the breath. Apply pressure, even and firm, like packing a snowball. There. You can go now, brother. Actually, that was Al Swearengen when he put down the Reverend Smith in season one of Deadwood.
It's a good kill scene.
Which is what the Spurs did.
Yeah.
The life slowly bled from the Grizzlies. Popovich just standing there nodding his head. Yes.
I don't know.
Squashed them like a bug.
If I'm going with an HBO analogy, I'm going Wallace in The Wire.
Where's Wallace?
Where's Street? Wallace?
Where's Wallace Street? Yeah.
Anyway, to you, our Memphis Grizzlies, we bid you farewell. Good night, sweet prince.
Adieu.
Adieu. All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Guys, how's it going? The playoffs have picked up.
I'm watching basketball again.
John is back from New York.
I'm now sad.
Chuck is a little not as energetic as he was, not as cocky as you were.
Far less cocky.
You were swinging your business all around last week.
Talking about Josh Deesh. I can't even say his name anymore.
What happened?
It's basically... They're two evenly matched teams. I said they were going seven.
You save your analysis. This is the intro, boys and girls.
Yeah, sorry.
Regression towards the mean.
But we are excited. Things have pepped up. And with this pep up, did anyone have breakfast on this fine day?
No.
John Burr is dressed in character. He looks like Brick Tamlin.
I look racist?
You kind of look, it all depends on what flows from your mouth. So on a normal day, yes.
Racism,
so John is going to an audition for a thing where he's supposed to be a racist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like the racist.
He is dressed up. I know you guys don't get to see us often, but he's not wearing his normal John clothes. He's dressed like a character from Anchorman.
Is it that much further from his normal clothes?
I've never seen him wearing a regular sized tie, I don't think.
I dressed
it's
intentionally
kind of very fancy
poorly.
Knot.
Like I made it so that the tie is very short.
Yeah. You don't look well put together, though, as you normally do, unless you're wearing sweatpants and a Marc Gasol.
But because of your busy day, and truth be told, this is the second time we've met in the baby dungeon to record this episode. We've had technological issues, and we will probably continue to have them throughout this recording. We hope it makes it through.
I think we're having them right now.
Probably.
Could be. We'll see what we can fix in post. Mm-hmm.
So no breakfast
on your busy day.
All of our listeners know I did have the fix for this technological issue in my Amazon order queue on its way, and I was told to cut it out.
Here's the thing. The income isn't flying in like we might have planned on. So we try not to buy new things. Maybe if you guys signed up for more Fan Essentials, we got a couple more dollars headed our
way. Shots fired.
Come on, folks.
Yeah, come on, folks.
Get the boxes.
What would it take for people to randomly PayPal us $4,000? That's all I'm asking.
You mentioned Al Swearengen. The dialogue I'm having to read for this role would make him blush.
Awful.
I don't often flinch or am at a loss for words, but... I'll be like practicing the dialogue and I'll get to one of the words I'm supposed to say and I just kind of go
Chuck, did you at least have breakfast?
Yeah.
What'd you have?
Went with the old muscle milk.
Oh, cookies and cream muscle milk.
Cookies and cream muscle milk. Today I'm doing breakfast in a liquid form now because I'm a fat guy and it's easier. And yeah, I that's what I did.
Good for you.
No, I don't know if it's good for me. I think I'm starving myself of nutrients, so I'm taking liquid ionic magnesium and some other vitamins to balance out my loss of, stuff.
Sounds dire.
Well, I was getting shaky, and my doctor said it was magnesium, so.
Yeah, I got unspeakably intoxicated last night, so did not wake up until my hairdresser came to give me this bizarre coiffure I have.
Wait, you had a person do that?
Yeah. Well, and here's one of the problems.
It's a part, John. It's just a part.
I can't do this.
You give so much guff to LeBron for having a man cut his food, but you paid someone to part your hair.
This is an unruly bramble.
You're right. In John's defense, it is a rat's nest of sorts.
These curls, you could bounce a quarter off of this right now.
Spray water.
Your hair is impeccably
this
well
was done at 10 a.m. and it's still in this shape.
It's a helmet.
It's doing good.
But the girl who does my hair is one of my ex-girlfriends, and I feel like she is dressing purposefully when she comes to do my hair.
Oh, no. I hope that's not true.
She's trying to get you in trouble?
I don't know why she dresses like that. when I see her out, she's not dressed like this. And then the last four times she's come to do my hair, it's like, yeah, you used to have this, and now you don't.
Okay. This is...
It's freaking me out.
Are you trying to smash, bro?
You should. I'm betrothed.
I mean...
I'm betrothed.
There's a lot of easy fixes here.
Yeah, I'd probably get a new hairdresser.
Yeah, that's the most obvious... Well, Chuck, you would not get a new hairdresser.
But don't you think this is probably in my head?
Yes. And
absolutely.
Also go to a salon.
She probably thinks 0% about what she's wearing when she's coming to cut your hair.
When you are able to get a girl who charges $200 to cut your hair at your house for free,
yeah,
you don't ever go to salon ever again.
Okay. I guess a $200 haircut. What's the difference between a $20 haircut and a $2?
Well, you're exempt from this conversation.
I don't have hair.
That's true. Nothing to part up there.
Nope. Just the whole thing is departed.
I did get a $25 beard trim once when I tried to grow that beard, if you guys recall.
That's disgusting.
That is that's a scam.
They rubbed my head.
Right.
For your beard.
They put on a Nintendo Power Glove that shook the holy foundations and stuck that and put me in a claw hold, and it was magical.
Yeah, well, that's what you pay for.
I achieved climax.
Everyone wants a bionic haircut.
Well, that's like, when you go to get like a $40, $50 haircut, whatever, you expect to be rubbed a little.
Yeah.
If you're not getting rubbed, it's...
But a $200 haircut needs to be done by a drone. Like, it should be... like, there needs to be some specific technology involved.
Her haircut's
I don't
so
know. Yeah,
expensive.
I don't know what the...
Maybe the clothes she wears is part of the haircut.
I wouldn't even know what a $200 haircut gets a guy. Because, like, I mean, is there sculpting involved?
I know.
Like, the most elaborate guy haircuts, like, they would top out at $100.
The Weekend
haircut. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, like, if you're doing some actual hair sculpting, I guess, or something into it. But...
You get a poodle and a rhino on each side of your head.
Yeah.
His hair has quadrants.
Yep.
It's multidimensional.
Well, my breakfast was... Hit the leftovers. At least one of them was actual breakfast. Well, one of them sort of. We had some like diced baked potatoes last night. So it's like they were not a baked potato, but prepared in the oven. And you know, it's
roasted. You might say.
Yeah. So like roasted potato. That's the accurate term. And it was so it's kind of like kind of a morning like a hash brown sort of.
So shitty at eating, he doesn't even know how to talk about it. Or excuse me, Keith, rather.
Keith, yeah.
That makes
sense.
Keith,
like a stupid little kid.
Diced baked potatoes.
Yeah. Diced a baked potato.
I don't know.
No one has ever said that.
A mashed potato.
I don't know the names of things.
Yeah, that's funny.
I know Stouffer's.
What do you call a cheeseburger?
I know what Stouffer's is. I know what a burger is.
Meat? Do you call a cheeseburger meat inside of flapjack?
You know what sofritas is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That could be my big news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, what's going on? I didn't pay attention to that stuff.
Oh, just Chipotle? What's
going breakfast,
Chipotle
baby.
Chipotle might be going breakfast. They're just thinking about it.
They're just testing the market. You need to hit us up, Chipotle.
Chipotle,
I'm gonna talk to my
local Chipotle manager and talk about getting a little backing.
I mean, we might have to talk about changing the best of the week from steak and eggs to Chipotle breakfast burrito.
If Chipotle made a breakfast burrito, can you even imagine? I mean, come on.
For our podcast, are you kidding me?
So breakfast burrito, all they have to do is put egg in there, right?
Yeah
probably egg and a little potato or something.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think you need the potato.
You can do the meat.
You can just do a steak and egg potato.
If you're cutting corners like Chipotle does, you can just stick an egg in there. Eggs are very cheap. And they'll probably get like steroid hormonal eggs.
Oh yeah,
super eggs.
No, yeah. they will go literally the opposite way. They will get you your listeria eggs because they're from an unsanctioned, you know, Guatemalan farmer. No offense, Guatemala.
No, we didn't. We just picked you randomly.
Yeah, I've been to your sad country.
We're sorry.
There's Guatemala. No roads. Were you in the world?
Were you on a mission trip?
That time I wasn't. That time I was gone.
That time
I went rogue.
Oh,
and you picked Guatemala.
Man, just where the bus goes, dude.
Oh, you're such a hippie.
Where the bus goes. All right.
Those were
our breakfasts. After our breakfast, we do our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Okay, I'm sorry. So,
yes, Chuck?
I lied about the podcast last week to the podcast about being somewhere in a networking event, and I ended up playing poker. And then, told everyone that the Heat were good. And I think these two things are connected, much like...
Oh, you think karma? You think you're paying for karma here?
No, it's
karmic
a lot,
retribution.
It's a lot like the Golden State Warriors losing after a flood and then winning after a flood, you know, after no flood. So I feel like all these things are intertwined. I'm the reason why Miami's down 3-2 when they had what seemed like a destructive two-win lead over...
Well, I feel like I asked you if the Heat could keep hitting all their shots, and you're like, yes.
I did it. Specifically said they couldn't. But yeah, Richard Slow has been coming back to rookie ways. It's a couple games without any greatness from either of those players. They lost two close games. I think that they were in. I don't feel bad in the losses, the last two at least.
This is a historical collapse. If only because that Hornets lineup is so damned hilarious.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Let's say it aloud.
We got Marvin Williams. We got Kemba Walker.
Contract year Marvin.
Who's played like dog butt.
He's been terrible, but he was really good in game five.
Game five, he looked good.
Finally showed up.
Grizzlies refugee Courtney Lee.
Courtney Lee's there.
Courtney Lee, the game winner.
Union leader Frank Kaminsky.
Big Gay Al.
Yep, Big Gay Al.
So
that's the lineup that's blown
that lineup has so Clifford is stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
However, that lineup still has a negative point differential.
Right.
Oh, it's so bad.
So that their starting lineup still getting outscored, but they're winning, which makes it really awkward for the beat reporters.
Well, you know the reason?
Because they don't want another tongue lashing.
The reason for the season, Jeremy Lin.
Right.
Jeremy
Lin. Fast Break Breakfast Sixth Man of the Year Award winner.
Feel like he's just he's killing it.
Yeah,
his free throws per game.
Wearing that top knot, he's getting to the rim.
Accidentally getting his name tattooed on people's feet.
That's a very funny story.
Very good story. But yeah, they look great with their second rotation.
But you think it's your fault?
Yeah, I'm the reason.
You lied.
First of all,
I was raised Catholic. I hope you guys all know.
The apologies are for our listeners. What we get wrong.
Uh-huh.
We don't have enough time for us to apologize to each other.
No.
For the things that have been done.
Oh, no.
For the lies that have been told.
I am at least 42 minutes late to everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know when John's going to be late? When he goes, what's the best way to get to Keith's house?
Yeah.
Like we haven't been podcasting here for years.
Yeah. And he normally texts, what's the best way to Keith's house? Normally 15 minutes after he's like,
I just left.
I just left.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm on my way.
What's the fastest way?
And then,
to get
like,
there?
20 minutes later.
New low today, guys. Got lost on the way here today.
Yeah.
You would. You would.
I ended up in the Green Hills Mall area. Don't know how.
John has no sense of direction. He's lived in Nashville for, what, 15 years?
10 years.
10 years.
I went to a fugue like state.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. A mall.
Well, yesterday you were working close enough where I really meant it when I said, like, I will come pick you up.
Yeah,
because I was certain the round trip for me getting you was faster than you coming here.
Always.
But anyway, John, do you have an apology? Anything
I'm sorry for not watching basketball for 2 whole weeks.
Oh, yeah. Your apology is you somehow had a recording session scheduled during the first week of the playoffs.
Yep, mm-hmm. I had...
Kind of a mess there, John.
Preds and Grizzlies tickets to both playoffs and got to go to one game. The Grizzlies got eliminated so quickly, I didn't even have a chance.
Well, the Grizzlies' home playoff stand lasted like 36 hours.
It was incredible.
Like it was 9 p.m. Friday mm-hmm. and then noon on Sunday. What in the world is that, Adam Silver?
Yeah, it's pretty much like, yeah, let's get that over.
It really was like, we need to shuffle this under the... This shame needs to be flushed down the toilet.
No one needs to see these games.
Yeah.
But luckily, I kind of missed all the bad. And I've come back just in time for the excitement.
Exactly. So maybe your return is... That leads to my apology, where my apology is calling it too soon.
Yeah.
Pronouncing the first round dead.
You weren't alone.
Last week. I mean, everyone was saying it was literally boring.
It was.
But then the Hornets got on fire. The Blazers got on fire. Even before the injuries, at least the Blazers were winning that game four before Chris Paul went out. And then the Celtics played great in their two home. I mean, at least those were riveting games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're good games to watch.
How much did the Blazers end up winning by?
In which game?
The most recent.
The most recent game, 5, they blew it open in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In L.A., it was a close game.
It was 108-98.
As long as they won by more than two.
It was 108-98.
Was that my happy, happy man?
Yeah.
Was that the cover?
I want to say it was neck and neck, and they blew it open in the fourth. Dame Lillard went off in the fourth.
What do the Paul-less, Blake-less Clippers resemble? What are we looking at here? I didn't get to see this.
They resemble an NBA team.
Bad basketball
really?
Team.
I mean, Jeff Green and Jamal Crawford being just the chuckers. And something's wrong with J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
He can't. He's not moving right. He's not shooting right. They are shoot them in the head style Grizzlies.
Oh, dear.
It's rough. Anyway, those were our apologies, our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs best thing, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. FanEssentials.net, they're a subscription service to get NBA gear you want shipped to your home for any team. They have boxes starting at $14.99. Enter the code FBBF and you get 30% off. And I think in honor of the NFL draft, they're actually branching into NFL teams. So check them out, FanEssentials.net. Get all the essentials you need. Okay, steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
My best of the week is Russell Westbrook in a absolutely devastating post-game interview after beating the Dallas Mavericks. He says, when asked about Villanueva being kind of like peering over him before the game started, he was just kind of behind him and yapping.
Yeah, and also they'd been doing Westbrook had been doing that dance pregame where Villanueva had broken up. And Villanueva actually had a great quote when he said something like to the effect of, I'm all for a guy getting hyped up, but if you're getting hyped up, has a 5, 6, 7, 8, that's too much. And I'm like, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Like if you have to count it off, but anyway.
But yeah, Villanueva was apparently yapping before the game. And when Westbrook was asked about it, he said this quote. Yeah, he said a lot, but now he gets to go home and do whatever he needs to do to get ready for next year to sit down and watch 82 more games like he did this year.
It's a bold man who talks smack while having alopecia and no eyebrows.
And then,
bold man.
Man, it always looks like he was in a gas fire accident, like someone just burnt all of his hair.
We're proud of alopecia, of him overcoming his alopecia, his childhood bullying from the likes of John.
Right.
He looks like the bastard son of Reggie Miller in China.
He was humongous his whole life. He could beat everyone up. No one made fun of him.
He does a lot of great work for people with alopecia.
Right.
Heard of the sad
foundation.
Giant, the sad giant.
I do know this.
It also worked out that was on the day where Cuban, inexplicably for no reason, just says, "Yeah, Westbrook, he's not a superstar. He's a superstar.
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
Well, one of the more cutting things was Durant was at the press conference when Westbrook was saying it next to him, and Durant offhandedly said, "Yeah, he shouldn't be in the league.
Yeah, he said he might not be in the league next year."
That was the hammer.
Beautiful, beautiful. So that's the best.
That was real good.
I love a good smack talk.
For me, I'll do it in song.
Yes?
When Byron was in Egypt land, let my Byron go.
Are you practicing being racist?
I think you're in your 50s record mogul.
He's finally gone.
He is.
Worst coach in the league. Free at last.
Now that Sam Mitchell's been fired.
Sam Mitchell turned it around. Sam Mitchell had a good...
Sam Mitchell has won Coach of the Year before.
I don't know.
I'm saying Sam Mitchell, you can't even... We shouldn't put him in the same breath as what Byron Scott has done. We are stuck
in an eyebrowless rut right now between Villanueva and Byron Scott.
That's right.
It's true.
Zero brows.
Byron Scott won 38 games in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Worst coach in Lakers history.
But Kobe Bryant won 24 games for $50 million in the last 2 years.
How much did he get paid per win?
It was almost as much as Nikola Pekovic got paid by the Timberwolves for a win. I believe I worked it out that Nick Pekovic got $2.2 million per win he played in.
Loved him in Superman 2, though.
He was great.
So good.
It was odd.
He had so much gravitas for a non-speaking
But
role.
I mean, in Byron Scott's defense, when he has an all-time great player, he makes it to the finals. I mean, in their prime, he does a good job of that.
Literally, Byron Scott now has, I think he has the worst record of any coach to coach 1,000 games.
Yeah.
And who's the next
it
coach?
It peaks and
be?
Like it's weird with this guy's been. I mean, he hasn't been coaching every season, but he's almost been coaching continually since 2003. And he peaked in the very beginning with Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
So I've heard there are three candidates for coach. The chased AC Green.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
That'd be great.
Or are you setting up another joke again?
I think you are.
Afraid so.
I'm sorry.
The punchline was going to be Sven Nader, and now you ruined it.
That's hilarious.
I can apologize that for next. Apologize for that next week.
I was going places.
My best thing, my steak and eggs. It's been almost a full week since this happened. What I cannot get over watching that clip of James Harden hitting the game winner. And then them cutting to the Rockets bench.
It's porn.
And them being devastated.
Just hating. They're like, man.
Terrence Jones is so angry. Corey Brewer.
Dude, Corey Brewer is the maddest of them all.
Corey Brewer is the funniest because his face shows the most disdain. But then he realizes he should be celebrating. And he does a couple of few dutiful professional claps. Mm-hmm. And it's when Corey Brewer finally puts his hand together. Kills me.
Yeah.
He starts clapping.
He's like, well,
Clint Capella's fired up. And you can almost see he gets so fired up and then he feels awkward. Mm-hmm. It's that thing where you jump up and none of your buddies do. And you're like, well, I thought we were jumping. Were we not jumping? You know? And yeah. Oh, man.
You can just see all of the faces and they're all going, I have to cancel that flight to Miami now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can't go to Cayman Islands.
Man. That kill. And I know there's I guess Rocket fans were getting testy about it and being like, no, you wouldn't sell. I can't imagine any. I mean, I guess the one excuse
Keith,
I can imagine.
Act like you've been there before, all right?
That's a good
when
point,
you have
John.
No hope in
I
the
would
series.
Say there's some guys who hit the game winning, like the guy in college basketball who hit the game winning shot in the championship game.
Right.
He, again, I don't watch college, so I don't know his name.
His name was God Sham God.
Right. So that guy who hit the shot, he just did the still fist pump. Like he didn't jump up and down. So I do recognize you can act cool.
That's some Larry Bird badass.
Yeah, yeah. You can act cool, but to have everyone on the bench, to everyone be cool, that feels weird. That doesn't feel normal.
Can we talk about game winning shot celebrations? What's the best one you've ever seen?
Mm-hmm. I'm still for the pure passion is the Michael Jordan over Cleveland, the pumping the fists.
Craig Elo.
You know, the over Craig Elo, the foul line thing. The way he pumps those fists, because he's showing real emotion. He's like, I just murdered this city.
That's a really good one.
He is fired up about it.
For my money, Larry Bird releasing the shot that wins the three-point contest. I know nobody cares about that.
Right.
But before it goes in, and this is the first time anybody's ever done it in warm-ups, by the way.
Right.
Before it goes in, turns around, raises his one crooked finger into the air, and walks away as it swishes, behind him. That's the baddest move
that is
in
the,
history.
That's one of the baddest moves, but I feel like it's been co-opted by Steph Curry.
Curry's done it
because Curry
game.
Does it in games so often.
Yeah,
the shot from the corner where he turns around and
incredible.
Shimmies in front of him,
and when Bogut does it also.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Even when it doesn't go in,
right.
Still.
So that
Bogut, one of the headiest and best rebounders in the game.
The worst
also
one
also assumes it's going in.
Worst one ever is the Reggie Miller jumping jack in circles, the spinning in circle against the Bulls, where he won a playoff game against the Bulls. Oh. And Michael Jordan almost hit a half court shot after the timeout, but him just spinning in a circle. And I think Larry Bird.
That is not the worst. The worst is the Antoine Walker shimmy.
No, I love a shimmy. Employee number 8, give it to me. Love it.
Never, ever did that in a meaningful game.
Well, I mean, they were.
Well, he was doing it in the NBA finals when Dwayne Wade was shooting all those free throws and getting us a championship.
There you go. There's
big old Antoine. He was on. He had a couple shimmies in that final.
Taking care of some debts.
Yeah. Now he's trying to
some severe gambling debts.
All right, let's switch over to the worst of week. The opposite of the steak and eggs. The cream of wheat worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw this week?
I got, there's a wonderful event that happened in Celtics Hawks where Marcus Smart seemed to catch the spirit, Holy Ghost, or maybe he was auditioning for the Power Rangers.
The power of Christ compelled him.
He was basically...
What is...
Kyle Korver boxed him out very gently. It seemed like an American regular box out. And he just flew out of bounds, nearly to the stanchion, completely... he got fined.
I wasn't sure what you were talking about. But yeah, the flop. The great flop.
The great flop of Marcus Smart.
The Power Rangers audition threw me.
Yeah.
I remember any time the Power Ranger was... barely touched, they would do like four flips into the air.
It was incredible. It seemed poignant. You're a few years older than us.
You're not a Mighty Morphin guy.
I was really probably in high school when Power Rangers came out.
I watched that gritty reboot that was on the internet like 2 years ago.
It was
just trash. I don't know why people even linked it.
Don't ever click on an article that's like, Power Rangers, where are they now?
Oh.
It gets dark quickly.
Real quick.
Porn, real quick. Murder with a sword.
Porn with a sword. It's awful. But yeah, that was the worst thing I saw. It was the floppiest flop most. It was drawn from like Champions League soccer.
I mean, it was funny, but it's also the kind of thing where I feel like there should be an in-game penalty.
Yeah.
Because clearly you're trying to make the game worse. Like you're trying to trick the referees and not just play basketball. It goes back to one of our basic things. Pretend like it's a pickup game. Would you do it?
Yeah, that's absolute malarkey. Marcus Smart. I don't care if you're a Celtic. You're gonna get a. You're a crap person.
That actually leads sort of into my worst of week is I saw Andy Larson compiled all the last 2 minute report findings for the year of all the missed calls. And wrote down which teams benefited or were hurt the most by missed calls. And so the team that benefited the most on missed calls in the last 2 minutes of close games, so the Rockets, led by James Harden, had the greatest differential of calls in their favor that were missed.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, maybe it's just a coincidence, but it does seem like if you had to guess, like, oh, that team is based on drawing semi-fraudulent foul calls a lot, and then for the findings to be like, well, and yeah, it turns out they did benefit the most. So that brought me down a little bit. The poor Utah Jazz, the always disrespected Utah Jazz, were the most damaged, had the worst differential of calls going against them.
Nobody likes Mormons. Very irritating. Knocking at your chamber door, smartly dressed, making you feel bad about your sweatpants and your
hangover.
Yeah. No, you still, Mormons.
I feel like this is good. You have gotten in your
mindset.
You're in your audition mindset.
It's hard to shake this Jack Ruby I'm becoming.
Putting down all different kinds of people groups. You'll get there.
Yeah, the good thing about...
You won't believe the words I had to say today.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about...
Slurs from a bygone era.
You got a worst...
As
John,
the Skip Bayless of this podcast...
Congrats on your new deal, Skip.
Yep.
Wherever you are.
I think I'm going to Fox, which is a natural fit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially.
Good old-fashioned Vandy asshole at Fox. Perfect. The injuries. The injuries are a complete bummer.
We hadn't talked about them. That's right.
I mean, I know it's kind of like overriding, overarching everything, but man, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and Steph Curry going down really dilutes this playoff brew.
And the order of it happening, too, was so strange, where I was leaving Memphis listening on the radio to the Rockets-Warriors game, and the Rockets announcer, it was the Rockets announcer because it was a home game, and...
That Bernie Bickerstaff?
They tried to be diplomatic, but you could tell... I guess I don't want to blame them, but you could tell they were kind of excited in their voice.
Always limping.
Yeah. I mean, they said like, this is a terrible, they said all the right things, but it seemed like these guys were kind of like, and that game was tied.
Said it jollily.
It was tied at halftime when he gets hurt. So then the Rockets come out against no Steph Curry and get trucked in that second half.
Yeah.
And then it's all like, oh, Steph Curry's out for 2 weeks. The Clippers have a good, great chance to knock him off.
Right.
And on the very next day.
Yeah, because the Clippers have been the best opponent for the Warriors.
Yeah, they played them great.
Without actually you know, the Warriors never succumbed to them, but every game was very good.
I think you've got a, like, the best case scenario with the Warriors with Curry going down with, you know, now the Clippers, their woes. I would have thought it would have been smart for the Warriors if the Clippers didn't lose two of their best players to maybe try to drop a game or two and get some time.
Try to extend it.
Yeah, try to extend it out and, like, have a couple games. I know no one would ever do that.
It's too risky.
It is too risky, but I mean, like,
I mean, I'm sad.
Austin Rivers' bookshelf must be amazing. It must be like The Art of War, The Prince by Machiavelli.
Machiavelli.
Like, how is he? 48 Laws of Power. How has he manufactured this? Yeah, Stephen R. Covey books everywhere. Tony Robbins speeches.
One of the things that bums me out about the Chris Paul injury, I mean, among the obvious things of, like, we don't get to see these great matchups, is I wanted to actually see where this Blazers-Clippers series was going.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I actually thought that was going to be a tough series, like, right, going into it. I thought one of the intangible of, I felt like the Blazers really like each other, and I thought maybe the Clippers don't really like each other. Right. And I thought just the team aspect of the Blazers might be able to carry them.
Right.
And, you know, they got beat handily in the first two games in LA, but then they rallied and that they hung on in that game three, and they were winning game four before, you know, Blake and Chris went down. So I was curious to see how many games that would actually go. I mean, I still assumed the Clippers were going to win, but that was something I was entertained by. And then thinking about a full-strength Clippers-Warriors was going to be great. Now we have not full-strength, and it's like, it's definitely a disappointment.
I would say that's putting it a little mildly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's crushing, I mean, for the Clippers fans and that franchise.
Two of the top 10 players in the NBA, as well as one of the most exciting players in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is like, you know,
but if they're only,
kind of worst-case scenario.
If their only hope for beating the Warriors is injury, it's kind of ironic that they, you know, injure their way out of that too. You know,
right,
it's kind of like this.
Well,
weird.
So this Clippers team, because of this injury, and maybe they beat the, maybe they come back from 3-2 down and beat and win the series. However, if they don't, they've now lost a 2-game lead in a playoff series in, I think, 3 of the last 4 seasons.
Yeah.
They were up 2-0 on the Grizzlies in 12-13.
And
then
they
were up 3-1 on the Rockets, and now they're up 2-0.
I probably have cemented Chris Paul's legacy as one of the best players to never even reach a finals.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
if this team doesn't get there.
And you got to think now.
He may slap himself on the contender.
Bill Simmons is talking about, you know, and he's probably right that this might be it for Blake Griffin in LA, that he seems to maybe have burned some bridges with management. Like, they're tired of him.
Certified jackass.
Well, we know that.
Puts people's heads in his crotch and punches smaller men.
Equipment managers in the mouth. His leg injury makes him out.
Most unlikable player, I think. I know you're a Dwight Howard.
Oh, no. I just like Blake Griffin more.
Wow. You just shocked me.
I think the part of the Blake Griffin thing is, when I see Blake Griffin off the court, he seems intelligent and personable and kind of charismatic.
Dwight Howard is just a fart machine.
Right. So off the court, Dwight Howard, you're like, oh, this guy's just weird. He doesn't have people skills. Like, Blake Griffin is like, oh, this guy seems funny. And like, he's...
I don't use this word lightly. And I'm not going to use a word you think I'm going to use. But Dwight Howard is a goober.
Goober.
No, he's absolutely. Goober. Yeah, I agree. So that wraps up our worst of weeks. And we have made our way into the Hassan Whiteside Cox It Back to Waffle House Presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered. We've been talking about the Clippers and the pain there going down. I mean, do we think this is it for this Clippers run of...
Absolutely.
DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin?
I could see them keeping it together another year out of some sort of like contractual obligation.
And that
go ahead.
I was going to say is that we didn't actually get to see it go down in flames, you know?
Right.
We now have the excuse of like, well, we got injured. We didn't see how it actually would have happened.
Yeah, there is a shiny new excuse there. But to me, Doc Rivers has always kind of hinted that that might happen.
Oh, he said it, I think, outright.
Yeah. I mean, so if... And he, for whatever reason, has, you know, personnel power. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a pretty, like, contrasting makeover.
I'm curious who... I'm curious what they could get for Blake Griffin, because it was reported that they tried to trade him to the Nuggets to get some of their guys, to get either a Jokic or, you know, like Will Barton and
boy, that would be a win.
Danilo or Chandler. But
I would
the Nuggets rebuffed the trade reportedly that happened. But
yeah, I mean, it would be interesting if we're playing fake trades. see him in New York. You could see Melo maybe a couple young players coming back for him too. And that would be fun to see Melo and Chris Paul play together. Those two guys have always talked about.
I think they'd be great, man.
Together.
I mean, Melo, DeAndre Jordan, and Chris Paul. If Melo was healthy,
yeah,
that's a nasty team.
Yeah. Seems great.
And I mean, Griffin, yeah, he would be good in New York.
I mean, he'd be
Melo
great
and
with
Chris Paul on the same team. Might be like the highest combination of basketball IQ that the league has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Two smart guys.
And then it does seem like that Blake Griffin would work great with a.
Porzingis.
Yeah, a big five who could shoot. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems good. I mean, he definitely, although he does the high-low game great.
Yeah.
You know, that was really one of the biggest things with DeAndre Jordan. But
he's made DeAndre into an actual asset as opposed to just kind of a Hassan Whiteside-ish blocking.
That's true.
Whiteside's a great player. More than just that. Much more. Should have been sixth man of the year.
Check that series score, dog.
As finally,
his hands broke. His hands hurt, and that's why he's not playing well. He's not getting touches. I'm sorry. I'm so sad about the Heat.
Yeah, so
I'm worried about you.
We could talk. Yeah, we could talk.
Man,
about,
they dropped three in a row. I mean,
that's humiliating.
Do you think that
their pick and roll defense
they will be
awful.
Able to bounce back? I mean, they've been terrible on the road.
Man, I just feel like they care too much about the calls, like reffing. Then they're just
the fan base is incensed.
Right,
they think they are getting hosed,
and they do. And I don't
turnabout's
buy it.
Fair play, my friends.
I just think they
watched Dwayne Wade saunter the free throw
2006,
line
guys.
1 billion times. Yeah.
It all balances out. But I think, you know, more than anything, they just need to focus on playing and get out of that refing, talking to the refs. Just ignore
I mean,
them.
It's one of those things where, like,
it doesn't help.
If you're down two
right.
in the last 20 seconds and there's a borderline call that probably should have went your way, yeah, you were down two
yeah.
in the last 20 seconds. Like, you know, it's like, you don't want to be callous, but it's like that's an NBA thing that it goes right. both ways. And I've seen Dwayne Wade get plenty of those in his favor.
Right. And the NBA ruled on it just now that call was correct. They did a bunch of reviews and said it was a correct no call.
That's the funny thing. Matt Moore from CBS tweeted the funny, what will make Miami fans angrier?
Mm-hmm.
That the league says the call was wrong right. or the league says that the no call was right.
Right. And I when you get down to it, it hurts to watch it because you feel like that's your chance and your opportunity, especially in such a close game. But dude, who cares about
when
the
I was
just
watching,
play ball.
When I was watching it, I thought, and I think I've stated though, I find myself kind of cheering for the Hornets in this series. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the right no call.
Yeah.
It
I
seemed
hated
like,
the call, but,
you know, but
after I watched
but,
it
yeah,
a dozen times, I hated it more.
So they're in tough. I mean, but also this is a series that seemed to be one of those most competitive series. It seemed like the Hornets really hitting their stride coming into the playoffs mm-hmm. and then struggled. But now again, weirdly, despite starting a front court that doesn't seem like it should mesh.
Yeah.
And maybe doesn't even still mesh. They're
a laughable starting lineup. I can remember.
Yeah. But it's still, but they're finally hitting some of their shots and the Heat have chilled a little bit.
They chilled a little bit. I think they can. The Heat still have a chance. I mean, they can beat this team two games in a row. I don't think it's an impossible thing. And they can really, if Whiteside is playing better and can catch the ball, because it seems like he can't even catch the ball, it will help them
right.
significantly.
Is there anything we want to say to bid adieu to the Pistons, Cavs-Pistons series?
Man, I love you, Stan Van.
Stan Van is so good, so candid in the post game, everything
you're the
he
best,
says,
man. I really wish you were still in the playoffs. I just want to hear you talk about anything.
Probably one of the better teams in the East, but the Cavs just look really strong.
I was my impression of this series is Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie had a fantastic series. Kyrie and LeBron are not clicking, and it kind of in an extreme level. Like they're playing both very well. But watching it, it seems like their games really do not mesh well. It seemed like they were just trading turns. Like they're just taking turns. And the Pistons, but that being said, the Cavs seem, I think they're clicking. They're killing.
Yeah.
And the Pistons actually played really well.
Yeah.
Especially,
like they were in three games.
I hope people got a good dose of KCP on the national
yeah.
stage.
KCP is streaky, but he was shooting. That's one of the things that
He's
really surprises me.
Player.
If you were to look at the Pistons' combined stats, all their shooting stats for the series, you would assume they did well. Because in my mind, they were going to lose in the playoffs, and you were going to see some like, oh, Reggie Jackson shot 30%, or oh, KCP shot under 30%. Everyone on the team like is all like 45% and over, which makes it again really surprising to me because they played a good defensive team and
Pistons played well, but you kind of knew the writing was on the wall when they would lose the close games. Like,
right.
They didn't get any of the like,
and that's the difference when you have LeBron and that experience and that, you know, it's playoff LeBron. I hinted at it before that this is his lowest scoring season since his rookie year. I think he's been saving himself.
LeBron's only lost 7 first round games.
Yeah. And yeah, it does a dominant force.
Terrifying.
That's unbelievable.
Which I think is if I know we measure players by championships, and look, I don't like LeBron, but I think it's a more indicative, you know, statistic that he's demolished all the lesser teams that he's played.
Yeah.
You know, he's never lost a series he wasn't supposed to lose. You know, I mean, he wasn't supposed to win.
That Magic.
The Mavs. but that Mavs.
Yeah, Magic too. Yeah.
The Magic one was an upset.
Yeah, that was true. But that was not early on in the playoffs. It was, you know, big stage Eastern Conference and finals series where he was a choker. And
no, it is funny when like if your example of choking is in the conference finals or the finals, you're pretty good.
Right.
You know, if that's like, oh, like his team was really favored, it's like, well.
Yeah, he's never been early escorted out of the playoffs. He comes to play when it's
they've now, and the Cavs have a playoff record. They've beaten the Pistons 12 straight games in the playoffs.
There were a lot of teams that really fell into matchups that were not good for them.
Right.
Right.
I like the Celtics, who have sort of battled back into the series, but when they lose, they really lose.
Let's move to that series.
And then the Pistons they match up so poorly against the Cavs.
I think that the Toronto Pacers.
And the Toronto is a good one, too, because Toronto, the Pacers
have
play
lost
good
two games in heartbreaking fashion and are still in the series.
But the Pacers match up really well against the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, the Raptors don't have anyone to guard Paul George, and Paul George has been killing.
The Raptors don't guard anyone.
Yeah, well, they're a good defensive team, but it's always smoke and mirrors, I guess.
I feel like Biombo is a good defensive player, and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Patterson is a good defensive player.
Valanciunas is
Damari Carroll hangs in there. But, like, again, their team defensive numbers have been good.
Can we explicitly say that Damari Carroll was a poor purchase at this point for that price? I feel like
I don't think we can yet because he's been hurt so much. I mean, if you say it's a poor purchase because he's been hurt, but
I just don't feel like he's that much of an impact player, really.
He might not be.
Like, he's like the fifth guy I think of when I think of the Raptors now.
But I think a lot of that is, again, because he's been out of it for so long. Like, they're best, I think, when he is clicking, but he's not. He hasn't been clicking.
Right.
Like, Kent Bazemore is going to get money like that next, I think.
Bazemore is going to get paid, like, and he's not even
14, 15.
So this is a strange series.
Right into that Hawks role.
This is the Hawks-Celtics series is one that's going to happen on Thursday night. We're recording late Thursday afternoon. That game's going to start soonish in our time. But I think the Celtics getting crushed in Atlanta, it makes me wonder if they can bounce back at home. That game has been...
I mean, every time I think they're out, you get like an Isaiah Thomas 42-point game. So
right.
I'm pretty done prognosticating.
We've gotten some whiplash in that game from guys going from nothing to... Like, Paul Millsap went from 1 for 12 and, like, 5 points to a 45-point game.
How about that game, too? When Paul Millsap can't miss and you go to Jeff Teague repeatedly in crunch time. I know Teague hit those 2 threes, but he was having a bad game, and there's not really a worse play than the final play of that game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't even understand.
A lot of NBA writers were making fun of that last play. Mm-hmm. I'm just standing around. So, yeah, that series has turned out like Jeff Teague dropped his
Nintendo controller.
Yeah. That series has definitely tightened up, and it's got interesting. I don't feel like the Celtics feel like they have much of a chance, but at least Brad Stevens finally got his first playoff win. And again, he's 2-7. Yeah. Already as many playoff losses first round as LeBron. Anything else we want to say about the Raptors Pacers? Because that's been the fun series.
That is fun. I didn't expect that.
Most entertaining game.
I can get behind a 5 o'clock tip off
all day.
Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't get to see hardly any of it because I was working, but I did come home and had to rewatch the end just because.
Mint julep on your porch.
Yeah, perfect basketball time.
Dad loves 5 o'clock.
The NBA's gotten real confused with, like, we only have Eastern time zone games tonight.
I'm into those 5 p.m. and the 10 p.m. tip offs.
I want to be wasted.
Don't give me any of that 7 p.m. garbage. I'm
doing stuff.
Yeah, you got stuff to do. People to see.
Doing dinner karaoke. Hours.
7 to 9, that's prime time.
God, oh, yeah.
I hate karaoke. You know what my favorite karaoke song is?
Huh.
Besides Who Let the Dogs Out?
What?
New Order Blue Monday with the 5-minute instrumental intro.
Yeah.
And I just dance. Been thrown out at a couple bars.
Can you ask for that?
Bars.
I need the long intro.
You gotta find those karaoke places where you can literally do
look
any
at the
song,
time.
You know?
Right, right.
And it's like you can kind of still thinly hear the vocals. Like they're doing something to eliminate the vocals, but they're still kind of there.
Yeah.
But if you can dance all the way to How Does It Feel? You've really done something.
It's a killer move.
It's good cardio as well.
So what do we think about the Raptors finally
you ever
switched
meet
up?
People who like take it really seriously.
Well, I was saying that's the thing about Nashville karaoke.
Oh yeah,
as Nashville karaoke, it's like
different.
It's
level.
Like it's like you
Try
have the different. Yeah, you have the people who are like, wow, that guy's insanely talented, but really funny. So I like, you have like the really like kind of intimidating, mm-hmm. like that was perfect karaoke. They mm-hmm. just like nailed this funny thing. And then you have the people trying to get signed.
Right.
Like they think there's a manager right. at the karaoke bar who's looking for someone to sing
there's
a sad
the third
ballad.
Person. There's that guy who does Minnie the Moocher.
Yeah.
At every karaoke bar in town and expects a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess there's actually a lot of different templates of the karaoke person. But definitely in Nashville, it's like
karaoke.
It's like you have your regular karaoke people, and then you have your people who are just intimidatingly talented. Like, you're probably a professional at something,
right?
But you're being funny, and then there's the people who are just like, I want to get signed.
There is a Gwyneth Paltrow movie.
Yeah, duets.
Directed by her father.
Yeah, Bruce.
And wow. also starring Huey Lewis.
I didn't know Huey Lewis was in it.
Wow.
That's where my knowledge ran out.
When? That is about karaoke singing.
When was this movie made?
When
I
wanna
say
how?
I want to say 99.
Did karaoke merit a feature film starring one of the largest stars of our generation? Talking about Huey Lewis, of course.
Of course. Thanks
okay.
for the, thanks
I'll
for
stop
the,
now.
Thanks for that news.
I will assume the karaoke aside means you don't want to break down any of the Raptors lineups.
Yeah.
Here's beginning and end of my Raptors lineup. Quandaries and opinions.
Yeah.
Jonas, no. Bismack, yes.
I don't think so, because Jonas has been unguardable at times. Scoring at will on...
He has the emptiest stat lines, man.
You think so? I don't know. That game one, even though they lost, he was unstoppable. Like,
that's
he got
why
so many,
they lost.
He got so many offensive rebounds and kept scoring. He was the only person scoring. When Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan both shoot 30% on 20 attempts...
Right.
You need JV grabbing all the rebounds. I mean, yes, maybe Bismack will get all the same ones, but...
And he'll play defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's weird that they had Scola in for so long. They finally gave up on Scola. He didn't even play.
Did we even mention Norman Powell?
Future Grizzly Norman Powell.
We did not mention Norman Powell. Stormin' Norman Colin Schwarzkopf Powell.
Trade Mike Conley's expiring contract for Norman Powell right now. You re-sign him.
The I read on Reddit, Norman is Germanic by name, meaning Northman or man from the north.
Oh, that's probably why they drafted him.
Yep, it's pretty great.
He's definitely been the revelation for he. I mean, he killed it again.
Yeah.
In the end of the regular season, but a lot of that you didn't know how much was garbage time. But
he was a D League superstar.
He's one of the I don't think so. He's
Vegas,
just rookie year.
I feel like you were talking about him in Vegas.
I think it was Joe Young in Vegas that was driving. But yeah, Norman Powell was there in Vegas doing. He was doing fine, but I didn't have the impression that
black guy named Norm.
Stay in character, John.
You look like that. You can't say that.
Yeah,
no,
we got to put a picture of John on Instagram.
This for the first time in my life. I look more racist than Chuck.
It's true.
The Norman Powell has proven to be the guy who needs to be in the game, definitely over Terrence Ross, although Terrence Ross helped kick off that rally in the fourth quarter. But yeah, Norman Powell is another guy that everyone in a league starving for small forwards, wings, this is a guy drafted in the second round that everyone kind of whiffed on,
Terrence
and he seems
Ross
like he belongs.
Is that special kind of player who could potentially win a three-point contest, win a dunk contest, and suck at basketball.
That's, yeah.
That's pretty special.
He seems to be his issue. Let's move on to the putting to bed the OKC and Mavs series. Mavs fought valiantly, but again, they ran out of players, yeah. Sorta. Cantor, I think, he had a 12 for 13 game and then like a 7 for 10 game. And
Enos the Penis is.
He was racking him up.
James Harden for them now.
What are we thinking? What are we thinking for that Spurs Thunder series? I think it's going to be.
I think you can have a hello series there, but I don't know, man. The numbers don't tell you that the Spurs are going to lose. I mean, their point differential.
No, they're a historically great team, but right. I do expect some pretty large performances from Durant and Westbrook.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that, but it's going to be Spurs just stomping the life out of them.
Really?
Yeah. I do.
I think that's like a 6-game series.
I mean, it could be. I mean, I mean 5 wouldn't surprise me. It's just
yeah.
I mean, the Spurs were not overwhelmingly good against the Grizzlies, but I don't even know how you could focus with like when you're lining up against Jordan Farmer. I don't know how you get hyped for that.
Yeah, it's hard to.
So I assume when they're lining up against Westbrook, they'll be able to put the pedal down. It seems like game one might be tough. It's the old switching from rookie to all Madden.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a little warm-up period. We're like, yeah. Oh, this team is much more talented than that last team we were playing.
They are faster. Yeah, they are better.
They are chasing that ball.
I'm not being guarded by Mumford and Sons any longer.
So, yeah, I think that series has got hope for fun. But, yeah, it's going to be Spurs 5 or 6 probably.
Nothing would surprise me in that series, honestly. Like any outcome,
really,
I could buy.
I could see
Thunder winning would stun me.
It would. I would be stunned.
I think they're. I don't know. They're obviously propelled by superior talent, but it just seems like they're not organized in a way that makes sense to me. If that makes sense. I don't know. I lack. I lack any conviction for believing in what they're doing.
Billy D.
Billy D.
You don't like Billy D.
I'm not.
You don't like Colt 45 Lando.
There was a time when the Spurs played. The Thunder, the Spurs never had two of the best three players on the court. Now, you can make the argument that Kawhi's a better player overall than either Westbrook or Durant.
Kawhi's a robot.
I mean, that's a real discussion to be had.
With mouth breather.
Easy.
LaMarcus is a hell of a player, too.
He is.
He's got to be the most unheralded superstar to me.
And, yeah, he could be on a given night better than Westbrook or Durant.
I mean, as semantics, I would argue we could argue the superstar thing. But
right.
One of my biggest takeaways from this basketball season has been...
Just how good he is.
How his good talent has been so well utilized in San Antonio.
I mean, mm-hmm. he came over, and they instantly became the best Spurs team ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's... And it's almost unfair because we kind of, I don't know about you guys, I was excited about the Popovich Duncan dynasty ending.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it won't.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I feel like the Spurs are ready to be good for another 10 years now.
Yeah. They don't rely on Duncan. They don't rely on Parker.
The foundation is there.
Yeah. Right. They rely on, right now, their major key players are Aldridge.
Sweet Jesus, what an annoying franchise.
Always doing the right move. Always making the right thing happen.
That's good. All right. That brings us to the award segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Presented Playoff iShops, baby.
Playoff iShops is awarded to the worst performance in a box score. Last week, Kevin Durant was given it without any other nominees, despite some great 1-for-12 performances from other people. However, we had a lot of terrible shooting. We've had a lot of terrible shooting and wins this week. So this week, we have three. We have three honorable mentions. Jeff Teague, 4-for-18. Dennis Schroeder, 3-for-13.
Two of those shots were three-pointers that saved the game.
It's so true.
Well,
Jamal Crawford, 6-for-23 in the game 5 when he now has to carry the burden.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Actually, let's throw in another honorable mention. Kimball Walker, you won the game. 4-for-18, though. I see you. All right. Our three nominees, as they occurred chronologically,
whoa.
Through
Jamal did make it.
Jamal, we're giving Jamal 6-for-23 honorable. I mean, 17 missed shots.
That's incredible.
It's an incredible achievement.
And the burden was finally on him.
It's true.
That son of a bitch.
It's true. Here we go. Our nominees: Jay Crowder in a win, 1-for-12, 4 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals. That's good. 2 turnovers. Miles Turner, big man. In a win, 2-for-13.
He takes a lot of mid-range shots.
4 points, 7 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 1 turnover. And Kevin Love, in a win, 3 for 15.
I wonder who Chuck's going to vote for.
11 points, 13 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 turnovers. So we got Jay Crowder, 1 for 12. Miles Turner, 2 for 13. Kevin Love, 3 for 15.
I'm going Crowder surfing.
I feel like I give Crowder the credit for the 3 steals. I feel Miles Turner, that's too much chucking. 2 for 13. He's taking 13 shots.
But, I mean, he just made one more and took one more. So.
It's true. Well, I mean, Jay Crowder has a worse percentage.
Jay
Crowder. Absolutely.
I'm going with...
Definitively.
Yeah, I'm going with the Clam Crowder.
Okay.
Nice.
The Clam Crowder wins it. Who, that man...
One-upped my horrible pun.
That man might need to... He looks beat up. He's been shooting terribly.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't hit a shot. One of many people who haven't hit many shots. Speaking of, we could nominate the whole Houston Rockets. Mm. Trevor Ariza finished the playoffs... Under I think 26%, 25%. He's like,
can we give DeAndre one for airballing 2 straight free throws?
We should also shout out Jason Terry, who promised a Game 5 win, then went 0-for-7 and they lost by over 30.
Shout out, well, JT.
That's pretty good. Dwight Howard's last game as a Rocket, 3-for-13. So many good Rocket performances.
Last game as a Rocket.
They couldn't pack their bags fast enough.
I don't know what it even means. Those people hate each other.
Ready for Dwight and Miami, homeboy?
They hate each other.
At a discount.
Yeah.
All right, we'll play for
Jack's
nothing.
Jack's ready to spin that anytime. Hey,
you know what? You would have told me, yeah. If you'd have told me last year, are you ready for Amari Stoudemire? I'd have been like, no, but he's playing for Nichols and he's actually putting a little bit
he's,
of work.
Amari Stoudemire is killing the Heat. He's killing the Heat right now.
He is. He's not playing. But, I mean, all season he's been kind of okay.
He's fine.
Always look on the bright side.
Go into our par fadeaway before we get to a once again remorseful Grizzlies epilogue epitaph. What's our par fadeaway? What are we looking forward to in the next week?
I'm looking for that Thunder Spurs. It's going to be fun.
Me too. I disagree with Keith.
Finally,
wholeheartedly, I think that's going to be a fun series.
No, I don't think it's not going to be fun. I just think that I consider the Spurs to be the heavy, heavy favorites.
Yes, I think the Warriors are going to roll. The Cavs are going to roll. I feel like it's only one of. I really think it could be a contest.
I'm excited. Well, I mean, obviously, the second round. I guess what I'm looking forward to is the end of the first round. That's gotten exciting. We're actually going to. We have some Game 6s that matter. Friday night is a packed night of NBA games, and then we might get a Game 7. But then we get to the real business. We get the heavyweights. You know, we've knocked some people off. Now right. It's time for some real ball.
Yeah.
Even if it is disappointing with no Chris Paul, no Blake Griffin, you know.
We need the Clippers to go away. Like, the Blazers need to close this out.
Yeah.
Well, now the pressure's on the Blazers. I don't know. The pressure's on the Blazers. They're going to win. I would be so stunned if they lost both those games against these Pablo Prigioni playing teams.
Love Pablo. Life of Pablo. P-Lop.
The inbounds thief.
He's a master of it.
That's his finishing maneuver in Mortal Kombat. He steals it.
Fatality.
I'm kind of looking forward to Chuck picking up one of those free Sacramento Kings tattoos.
Yo, we should. Hey, guys.
Kings are giving out free tattoos.
They're giving out free tattoos.
Real ones.
I'll go get one if someone flies me out to Sacramento and puts me up in their home.
That will be Chuck's second best tattoo.
The Southwest probably
John,
has like a...
I got so many good tattoos. All my tattoos are good.
Where are you even going to fit this one? Is that a
dude, I got
tattoo?
So much. I got so much stuff Dumb. Left on my body open. I don't have that many tattoos compared to a lot of people.
Open body.
Oh, is that what we're doing now?
Yeah.
Compared to people who are covered from head to toe in tattoos.
I have a long way to go, but I'm in this weird place where I can't, you know, stop either. I have to keep going because I have.
Are
so
your nipples tattooed?
No. Not
there we have
yet.
It. Folks. Sacramento Kings nipple tattoo.
Done. Nipple pasty.
You can get that new lion, the lion. I mean, that's what it is.
Is it?
Or you can get the shield, the crest.
Oh, I thought I could get like a
probably get them all.
A Vlade Divac tattoo.
You should get Mitch Richmond's name and number on your back as if it was a jersey.
My back's already tattooed.
Well,
just put it on top of there.
Back to my earlier argument.
Yes,
lots of
you have too many tattoos.
Too many tattoos.
Oh, some good real estate has been taken, but I have plenty left. Flesh.
What about a tramp stamp?
Oh, I do need a tramp stamp.
I need a Target.
Ew.
All right, so thanks for listening. Stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue.
It will be brief.
Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Hey, if you're on Facebook, remember, you can set your notifications to be notified when we post anything, and with how little we post things. That's the only way you'll ever see anything on Facebook because of their wonderful algorithms. So go ahead and turn on that notification. And follow us on Rabble, rabble.tv. We got some Rabble stuff in the works. And also, I've been looking for other people out there to save us from the John Barrys and Reggie Millers of the world.
Oh, hey.
Broadcast your own Rabbles. Yes, John, what is it?
I really like that I and Eagle Brent Berry pairing.
It's fantastic.
Am I using the right? It wasn't Iron Eagle. Who's the guy with Brent Berry?
Oh,
he's got hair that looks like mine right now.
Is it Kevin Harlan right now, or is it somebody else?
No, he's like a younger group.
Well, Brent Berry is incredibly good.
How can Brent and friend John Berry be related?
Friend of the show, Brent Berry, absolutely, wearing our shirt.
FBBF icon.
Yeah.
But there is a pairing. Whomever Brent Berry is working with right now, that's a quality tandem.
Well, then you get like the Tirico Hubie Brown. I could listen to that all day.
I like my Tirico.
Tirico's good, although Tirico's leaving
Tirico
RIP.
Is addicted to dirty talk.
He's a pervert.
Did you? Yes. Did you guys know about that?
I saw him.
Yeah, John, I've hung out with you at a bar before.
He can't stop.
I saw Tirico. Oh, that's. I'll talk about in the Grizzlies epilogue. I'll talk about the Memphis trip. I had the media pass.
Oh, yeah.
How tall is Tirico? Like 4'3".
Tirico, he's as tall as you think he is. He's 5'7" or something.
He's a little nugget of a man.
He's shorter than me. He was like rolling to the Premier League at breakfast. He was standing up and go to the corner to watch maybe Arsenal Sunderland.
Dude, that's awesome. It was. A guy who's been in sports that long still really cares.
Oh, yeah. He cares. All right. So stick around.
By the way, Arsenal sucks.
Stick around for the Grizz epilogue. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome back to the Grizzlies epitaph. Saying goodbye to the first.
How about good riddance?
Good riddance. So here's the thing. Cold, hard calculations in our Grizz epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. Cold, hard facts. That might be copyrighted.
Stone cold lock of the week.
When Marc Gasol went down, the Grizzlies were almost certainly first round playoff fodder.
Right.
They were going to lose the first round of the playoffs. Lots of horrible things happened after that. The cold analytical approach is, okay, let's do what we can do to get better for future seasons. The Grizzlies improved their draft pick from picking 24th, where they were when Gasol and Conley went down, to 17th. They improved their draft pick by 7 spots this year. They also traded to pick up 3 or 4 second round picks and a first round pick. And they still made the playoffs and lost in the first round.
And kept their pick.
Yeah, so technically, that worked out really well.
Yes.
It was painful. It was no fun.
It was like ripping off a Band-Aid.
I don't know. It was kind of fun when
there were moments.
Zeebo and
the
Matt
great,
Bard.
The great moments.
The 3 wins were nice.
When Diamond Rio shone like a bright
The Diamond Rio
star.
Thunder game.
That injury was the death knell. Well, all look, hope. I mean, it hope should have been lost, but then it was truly.
Well, it's that at that point wasn't even fun.
No,
it had a weird fake fun before then. I will say in the playoff games, I was proud that the Grizzlies. They played so hard in game 3, but they clearly just didn't have it. In game 4, it was like they hung in there in the first half, but then it's like you could see like they were bleeding out. It's like the Spurs just kept Spursing. And then it was like, oh, it was a 2-point game.
Yeah. No one cauterized the wound.
So highlight of that game was...
They drew first blood, not me.
So the power went out, you know, at the arena.
Yeah.
There's a power surge in FedEx Forum, and the lights went out. But my favorite part was the arena jumbotron, or the video board.
When the lights came back on, was the Undertaker standing in the center of the court?
Bong. Well, so what I thought would happen, the video board went out and then came back in with just like white noise... like electrical snow, and I was like, that's really cool.
Anonymous.
And then I wanted like Bane to start issuing demands to the city
Memphis, oh. You have long besmirched me.
Exactly. That, like, that's what it felt like. It was like, this is a...
Then you would have died, Keith.
Yeah.
You would have been, you'd been swallowed.
No, I would have given up the guy. he wants
help. Where is the trigger man?
The first thing that went to my head was, there's New World Order tactics at play. Right. The old Spurs World Order. They're all implementing
it. Kevin Nash.
Yeah. That's it, man. They put a virus into the scoreboard.
They're
which
like,
made,
this game's going too well.
Yeah.
We should have gone with some Robert Pera cyber warfare at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing to say about this Grizzly season other than let's forget it as quickly.
Hey, do you guys want to hear something super, super sad?
What's that?
Do you know who the D-League Finals MVP was?
I do. The season MVP.
No, the finals MVP. You know who it is?
Was it not Jurnal Stokes again?
It was Jurnal Stokes.
Well, I think he was the season MVP.
He was the season MVP and the finals MVP.
So why don't you take back all that smack?
Nothing. I feel nothing. He's made for the D-League.
You're correct. Yeah. The best.
This is going to be another Hassan Whiteside scenario where the Grizz just get rid of a guy who ends up being a good player.
He got rid of him.
All because Keith's grandmother thinks he's too slow.
They traded him for Mario Chalmers. Do it again 10 times out of 10. The Heat are the guys who dumped Jurnal Stokes.
That's true.
It's now no longer on the Grizzlies.
Who's he playing for now then?
Nope. The Del Rio Vipers. What
but that's
they?
Not like a
Sioux
farm
Falls
team
Bisons.
For someone?
He is not under contract with the NBA.
Wow.
No, so...
Go Vols.
But that may be a part of the whole Heat salary tax thing, where they have like a Bino kind of...
Under,
like,
under the table agreement there.
Handshake thing.
So my favorite parts, I'll tell you, my favorite parts about being in the arena and being in like the press conferences. One, sitting real close to Dave Yeager when
how he broke down tired. How do his tears taste?
Do they smell of Jägermeister?
It felt staged.
Yeah.
I've been in a lot of theater.
You're with a one-year-old a lot. You know when someone's not crying for real purposes.
I had some goatee questions lined up.
You did?
And then he broke down in tears and says, I can't do it. I'm out.
Tell us about how you made the room laugh. What happened there?
Oh, so Mike Conley received the sportsmanship award.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was finally like, there's only, again, these things, there's like 10 people. There's like no one in them. Right. No one cares.
Right.
So Popovich comes out and like no one will say anything to him.
They're afraid.
He's like, okay.
Oh, he's terrified.
And then, but Conley came out and he's all nice. And he's there with Chris Wallace. And they were, so he won his second Joe Dumars sportsmanship award.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, I was like, Mike, now that you have two sportsmanship awards, you feel you have a little more leeway to maybe throw some tantrums, pick up some texts without tarnishing your reputation. So he kind of thought that was funny. He's like, yeah. The other
humor. That's an amazing courtesy laugh by Chuck.
It is. Well, no,
I mean, it wasn't an actual
funny
joke.
Humorous, John. You're a cynical piece of
Yeah.
Guilty.
But,
I love you for it,
but he did answer that I would like to pick up more techs. However, I feel this is war's not about that, and I would rather win another award.
The perfect
or something.
The
yeah.
perfect good you, guy
you
pivot.
You teed him up, Keith.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
but great. It was fun. But then, so that was fun. It was fun watching.
See, I was thinking you would like ask questions like, "Hi, Chris Anderson. My name's Keith Parrish from Fast Break Breakfast. Can we be together?"
No, so I didn't have the opportunity to talk to Chris Anderson, who, again, the closer I get to him, the more I feel like we're related.
You guys are brothers.
We have similar facial features.
Absolutely.
Our facial structure, very similar.
It's called acromegaly.
Mm-hmm. Yours doppelganger.
So, I mean, it was fun, but it was fun walking around. Like, it was weird that, like, the spokesman for the Grizzlies were Matt Barnes and Vince Carter, and those are the guys who were the big... They really took over the season, but it was there was no like it wasn't Tony Allen, it wasn't Zebo. So we think that this run is over, kind of for the like the core four. I think maybe has one more year.
Yeah.
The most interesting takeaway for me also was when talking about the draft. Jaeger was saying, this is actually after the game. Jaeger said that he was pretty much off till July 1st. And then someone was like, but what you will help with the draft. And he's like, nope.
Yeah.
So apparently Jaeger saying he's not going to be involved with the draft process. Seems like Vegas would adjust those. Will Jaeger coach the Grizzlies next year lines?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's complicated though, because Tibbs to Timberwolves to me makes Jaeger more likely to be here again.
It does.
Yeah.
So that turned the knob one way. But then, I mean, him saying that he's not going to be involved with the draft process is a strange thing for a head coach of an NBA team to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like he's one of the most He's one of the cheapest coaches. Like, he's paid the least.
Right.
I think only $2 million a year.
So maybe he gets a couple months vacation.
It seems like the Lakers could contact his agent and be like, well, we'll pay him $6 million because what do they care?
Let's get another second-round draft pick for Dave Yeager.
You maybe could.
Love it.
Yeah. So do you guys think, John, are you optimistic, or do you think that Conley is going to come back?
No.
So you think he's going to move on?
I think the Grizzlies are doomed.
So you just have a fatalistic, it's all over?
I think they're doomed, more likely doomed if Conley comes back. Only because I think he's a great role player, maybe coming off the bench for a contender, but I don't know if he's like...
That's insane, John.
No, I think like if he backs up Steph Curry or something like that, I think he's a better...
Well, yeah, if he backs up one of like the 8 point guards who are better than him...
Yeah, I think
he's a top 10 point guard.
Yeah. Chuck, what are you talking about?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He doesn't excite me.
Goran Dragic?
Oh.
Dragic is awful. He's worse than him.
Is much
Jeff Teague?
Goran Dragic.
George Hill?
He could start over the...
Isaiah field. Cannon?
I mean, you're naming the bottom 8 point
Jeff
guards.
Jeff Teague's an all-star. Well, Goran Dragic was all NBA one year.
I would probably put Teague over him.
You're making
the next few seasons?
You're making me clip on this terrible technology we have.
Mike Conley's a great player, but I don't see why he would stay. Here's like the happy scenario for the Grizz. Like,
yeah.
Pal comes to town and we get the Flying Gasol brothers for a while.
Yeah, but
the notions of contending like seem distant.
Well, so Mark Gasol mentioned he would recommend his brother go to the Spurs, which also is not a great sign.
So he's going to tell Conley to go there too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going to be like, Conley, God, go to the Spurs. Get out of here.
I mean,
it's like, my foot hurts, leave.
Hey, he walked on that treadmill.
I would like, but so the thing is, there aren't that many. I think Conley's going to stay. I think he's doing what he has to say to get more dough. But there aren't a lot of more situations that are immediately like, oh, this is a better option. Like, everyone's like, this will be a great team for Orlando. Like, why would he look at Orlando's young core who can't win 35 games despite, you know, they've tried every year. It's been many years.
Well, it's like grass is greener syndrome.
There is grass is greener, but it's still like, yeah, but what makes them more set up to think? Also, Tony Allen said if he goes to New York or something, he's got a flagrant foul waiting for him.
Mm. Oh, dear.
That's some good recruiting.
He knows what's up.
All right. So, yeah, I think he's going to stay. I mean, we'll break down more of the salary cap issues and who they could be looking at for next year.
Translation, Keith will break down more of the salary cap issues.
I will continue to do the lion's share of the work. Yes.
Laminated, you know, and then, sheets of statistical information that we don't care about.
Yeah.
That's what the Baby Dungeon's all about.
That's it. All right.
Statistical printouts and weird toys.
Perfect. Baby toys. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy your Friday night watching basketball. Yes. You guys have a good one.
Arrive safely.